catch anything you missed with Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch Up. Thanks to Primo. $9.90 meals are back with an all-new menu. Where are you going for your next meal? I know, Primo.
Oh, the week is flying by, Roo. How are you on this Thursday morning?
Yeah, very good. It's very good. A little bit of rain around.
I'm a bit chilly for the first time. I've worn a jacket this morning for the first time this year.
Very fresh. You'll be right, Dits. Gardens need a little bit of a...
Bit of a drink.
She's been a hot month. One of the hottest Marches since 2008, were saying.
Yep.
But it's going to be beautiful next week and not too bad on Sunday. I think it starts clearing up a little bit.
We got the fire going last night, our first fire of the
year.
Yeah, beautiful.
Really?
I was free. Well, this morning up in the hills, I think it was 6 degrees when I left.
So
a bit chilly.
Gee, it gets cold up there, doesn't it?
Yeah, beautiful though.
You're fire going. Cuddling?
Yeah, Kate in front of the fire on the beanbag.
I meant Billy.
Oh.
The dog. You would have been cuddling
the dog
last night.
That's who was cuddling Kate, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah. Hey, plenty to talk about today. The aftermath of yesterday. Didn't Stephen Marshall fire up? He went absolutely berserk.
Well, he come in like he'd had a 20-goal victory. He knew that, this is bad for Jay Weatherall, and he was very confident. He wanted to get it out. Seems like there's a few people a bit upset with the Labor government that they didn't... take on Alinta's deal and of $25 million or less over 3 years to keep the power station going. It's pretty unbelievable.
So that's the Port Augusta situation.
Yeah, and that now the Port Augusta mayor has come out and said this is true. All the people up there are filthy. So,
so anyway, yesterday in question time, Stephen Marshall, and he told us yesterday morning he'd do this. He put it to Jay Weatherall. So we're going to have the reaction a little bit later on. But good spat, actually.
Mick Molloy's going to join us later. They take on Richmond, take on Collingwood tonight on Thursday night footy. Now, yesterday on the hot breakfast in Melbourne, it started out as a bit of a friendly little... bit of banter between Mick and Eddie.
Yeah.
And let me just say that, you know, we've done that before and we end up getting half serious. They got three-quarter serious.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Eddie doesn't like it. He's happy to have a joke and a bit of fun as soon as you poke fun at Collingwood.
Oh, well, there's a bit of pressure on. If Collingwood lose tonight, it's zip and two, play Sydney next week, Buckley's out of contract. There's all that stuff going on.
Yep.
And Mick... did throw a little firecracker on the fire.
Did he?
And Mick and Eddie just bought it.
So Eddie bit.
We'll show that footage a bit later on as well.
All right.
Audio, I should say.
Yeah, Ruined Dits for breakfast here on Triple M. All thanks to Primo. They've got their new menu, just $9.90. Check it out at lunchtime today.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Making news around the place. Now, Bronwyn Bishop was in the news, we're going back a year, 12 months ago?
At least.
All the helicopter rides and all the expenses she was racking up.
Yep.
So she's paid back some money. She's paid back something like $6,000.
Yep.
She got picked up on 3 weddings and a funeral, which is quite funny. The funeral, she claimed the expenses... the travel for going to Kerry Packer's funeral, that was one. And the committee said, nah, you want to go to funerals like that, you pay for it. Anyway.
Well, I'd probably let her off for Kerry's.
Why?
Well, he's a pretty important businessman.
She can still pay her own way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say...
be a lot of business done with him.
Yeah, but the Prime Minister should represent us at something like Kerry Packer's funeral.
All right. I'll move on from that.
I don't know that everyone should put their hand up and say, yeah, I'll go too, and the Commonwealth can pay for it.
All right.
No, don't back down. I'm not saying I'm right, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I'll bet you there's a lot worse. Her auntie Betty.
Forget that. Yeah. She's claimed for 3 funerals. weddings, sorry. She's claimed for 3 weddings that she didn't have to.
A little nephew and niece and things
like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, she's come out yesterday and said, that's it. I'm not paying back anymore, even though she really should have
She should.
But she's saying, I've done nothing wrong. But to the letter of the law...
Well, this just proves why she should have got sacked then.
Yeah. She's lost touch with reality.
Whether it's her or anyone else, you know when you should be charging something up against your workplace or your boss or whatever, and if you get caught, you get caught.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Just on this, by the way, I wasn't going to mention this, but you know the lady that's having a go at Tim Warner, the CEO of Channel 7.
Oh, yeah, what about that?
See, she's only racked up $500,000 on the company credit card.
$543,000 or whatever it was. I read that article. And $140,000-something of that is definitely deemed to be private expenses.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's no coincidence it's been leaked, is it, obviously?
No.
Yeah. She's
had a fair go with the credit card.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Hmm. So she's not little Miss Prim and Proper, obviously.
No. With the weather, North Queensland, we know that Cyclone Debbie caused all the destruction over the last couple of days. Now it's Sydney's turn.
Coming down?
Huge weather warnings for Sydney.
How much rain have they had the last few weeks?
They're talking about rivers will be flooded all up and down the coast, central coast and into Sydney as well, but mainly in the north part of New South Wales. But, yeah, they're going to get battered as well.
Well, like, what, Byron Bay all down through there?
Yep, all the way.
All the way down.
Yep. But there are real severe warnings. Yeah. So,
all right.
So Sydney and parts of New South Wales are going to cop it. What about Mark Latham?
Yeah.
Former leader of the opposition?
Well, yeah, he says some silly things, doesn't he, Mark Latham? And that's why he gets most of his media jobs, isn't it? He's on...
Outspoken.
He's on TV, he's on radio, he's been on... Is it Sky News?
Well, he's been
sacked from Sky News.
Yep, just
what did he say on there? What was that about?
Let's have a listen.
So the boys at the boys' school look like dickheads doing their video, total dickheads.
And those clips will be there forever.
But they're trying to do their own thing in their own stupid way, and then they get attacked by the girls for being a toxic culture of misogyny.
Toxic misogyny.
I mean, they just can't win. Why would they bother?
Blokes can't win.
The damn dickheads.
Newsflash, blokes can't win. Right?
Well, I've got to say, Ross, you're very perceptive in the world of romance because you've worked out for those fellas from the Sydney Boys High. Mm. They've become undateable because the left women think they're the hopeless, misogynist, toxic culture, and sensible girls out in the suburbs would think they're absolute wallies.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't go near them with a barge pole.
Now, he also went on to call a schoolboy involved in this story gay. And as a result of that, he's been sacked by Sky News.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising. None of us, I wasn't surprised when I heard he put his foot out of place. But that's the high risk that you get with employing someone
like
that.
He's always been loose. When he was opposition leader, didn't he build a cabbie?
Photographer, was it?
Yeah, but also a cab driver in Sydney.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's... Yeah. I think a lot of people got heaps of time for him, have they?
Nah, we're not too surprised, are
we? Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined Dits, thanks to Primo. Let's head to Melbourne, Roo, because it's Thursday night footy. Mick Molloy, good morning.
Hello, guys. I've got a quick story for you. Okay. Did you know this? When Iceland beat England in the last 16 of Euro 2016, you know what it set off?
What happened?
A baby boom. An absolute baby boom. This is true. A baby boom in Iceland.
Right.
Hospitals went berserk. Yeah. 9 months to the day afterwards, babies everywhere. Here's what I'm tipping after tonight's game. 9 months from tonight, little tiger babies everywhere.
Cubs.
Little tiger cubs. It is going to be an avalanche of tiger babies.
They're all going to be called Dustin.
Called Dusty. Flea, and the General.
Jack.
Yeah, Jack Revolt with a middle name, Revolt.
Jackie, that'll be a middle name.
Captain Blood.
That may be a middle name. I call my child Dusty Flea, Captain Blood, Jackie.
Mick.
KB Molloy.
KB. Bit of Francis Burke in there somewhere.
Ah, bit of Burke. Why not? Yeah. So there you go, guys. Are you confident? Tipping it?
Mick, I heard you and Nettie yesterday. I like to listen to your show just to try and get some ideas and learn from a couple of masters. But I tell you what, you boys got a little bit serious yesterday, didn't you?
Mm. Oh, the gloves come off when it's Collingwood Richmond. We have a bet on currently that whoever loses is going to retire from all forms of media.
No, you haven't gone again with that.
Yeah, I have. So you may see me hosting Hot Seat on Monday.
Who wants to be a millionaire? You'll answer the question yourself.
The only way he'll be able to get on is if he's someone's phone a friend. Otherwise, I will be. I'm trying to keep a lid on it because we go too early sometimes. But, gee, it'd be a thumping win. If you can get Carlton and Collingwood under your belt in the first two rounds, you are in for a reasonably good time.
Who's home game tonight?
It's ours, so hopefully those Collingwood, the ferals will be able to do a whip around and find enough money to come and put them in the Richmond coffers.
Yeah, right.
There we go. They could get 80,000.
80,000. Yeah.
If Collingwood had a won last week, I would have said more than that. But I reckon both sides will come to play.
Mm.
And once again, Thursday night footy will be rocking.
What I like about Collingwood when they play away, Mick, as you know, they don't wear black and white; they wear white and black.
That's right. Yeah. That's their away strip. It's very good. Hey guys, can I just a little sidebar, if you don't mind, into the world of animals? Have you heard this story? This is emanating out of Indonesia at the moment, and you need to see the pictures. It's quite disturbing, but it's a true event. A man who went missing in a remote Indonesian village on the island of West Sulawesi on Sunday night has been found. That's good news.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, the bad news is he was found inside a 7-metre-long python.
What?
7 metres?
You've got to see this to believe it. There's pictures of a bloke inside. You know, you see the shape of something, you know, if they swallow a calf or a small pig, you can see it. Well, you can actually see the outline of a man
kidding
inside a python with his boots hanging out the end, say his mouth. And all I can say to this guy is, mate, you snooze, you lose.
Must be a deep sleeper.
That'd ruin your day, wouldn't it? You wake up, you're having some kind of weird dream. Oh, my sleeping bag's too tight. What's going on? You wake up, Jesus, what the hell? He got half a python swallowed by a python. I mean, admittedly, it's a small man. It's not like he's swallowed Matt Preston.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, that would be impressive. That's how Matt Preston swallows things most of the time. You'll see the outline of a whole chicken just stuck in his
throat. So he swallowed Darren Gouchy as opposed to...
That's right. Well, he's, you know, but the poor bloke, think of ways to go. You know, I mean, there's a couple of bad ones. I don't know, being stuffed into a wood chipper. Maybe a shark attack. But I reckon being swallowed live and whole by a snake might be up there, guys.
I think so.
How long would you live for if they just swallowed you?
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think you'd have to set the snooze alarm for the morning. I reckon you'd be done and dusted. How's the snake feeling afterwards? It'd be like
a bit full.
That feeling after Christmas lunch. Poor. Might just get on the couch and loosen the belt a bit.
How's he passed that?
Mate, you want to go and have a look at this.
Just got to wait for the boots to digest.
Just got to wait for the boots to digest.
A bit chewy.
I want to hear David chewy, commentating this one.
I told a joke the other day, Mick, actually, about the Irish hide-and-seek champion. I wonder, is this bloke the Indonesian hide-and-seek champion or so? Was he playing a game?
What was the Irish hide-and-seek champion?
It's a very long joke.
Nah, it's not that long.
No, it's very long. It is. I'll do it for you. I'll tell you another day, but it's long.
It just seems long.
Yeah, just like that one, yeah.
Go, hey, Tigers.
Good on you, Mick. Good luck with the Tigers.
Good luck. I hope you win, Mick.
Got a good feeling.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:13, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. All thanks to Primo and their $9.90 menu. Hey, Roo, a couple of days ago when the news broke that Ben Cousins was going to do a year in jail, really interesting reaction here at Triple M in the offices. All of the girls that work here in the sales team and a lot of people here saying, isn't that the worst place to send a drug addict? Into jail?
Well, a lot of people, including me, said maybe that's where he needs to go. A lot of blokes, a lot of people in football said, well, maybe he needs to go there to clean up.
Straighten him out.
That's what you'd think would happen.
Well, all we hear of, when I say all we hear of, you hear this a lot, about the access to drugs in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow's got to remain anonymous, but I know a fellow that works in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And he's told me, when this came to light a couple of days ago, he's told me shocking stories about what happens in there with drugs. And in fact, there's a prison that's well known, the biggest prison perhaps in Australia, where there's a thing called reception. Now, this is a shocking story, horrific story, but when young lads come into prison for the first time, a couple of the big brutes hold them down and give them an injection that they call reception. And basically what they're doing is they're getting these kids addicted to it so that for the time they're in prison, they have to keep going back to these big fellas saying, I need more. And then, of course, the fella says, well, you're going to have to pay for it. This is how the trade happens in there. I'm led to believe. Now, I'm not educated on this. I don't know much about it. I don't know if you are. But it raises the question. You and I were talking yesterday, weren't we, over a drink about this. How on earth do these drugs get in there? Now, if someone's visiting an inmate, I think they're searched, aren't they? From what we see on TV, from what we know, they're searched.
Obviously,
and they
not thoroughly, because it gets in there. It gets in there through them. It gets in there through, my information is, it gets in there through people going to visit them.
But how? Aren't they watched all the time? You've got guards standing there watching, haven't you?
Corrupt screws.
Corrupt screws.
Yeah, things like that, who allow things like that to happen. Gets in there through kids' nappies and things like that. Gets in there through hitting tennis balls going over fences. There's lots of different ways that gets in there. Balloons and putting them in different places. I've asked a few questions around too, and they said the bloke I spoke to yesterday said there are heaps inside jails at the moment.
So we would presume
steroids.
If someone like Ben Cousins is in need, that he would have access. He would be able to get what he needs.
Well, I don't know for sure, but it sounds like it. Yeah, sounds like it.
So then the next question is how or why? How can that happen? And again, I can't believe. I mean, I guess what I really want is someone to confirm this. And quite seriously, 133353. And by all means, please remain anonymous. But we're keen to hear about this. We want to know. Either you've been inside, or you know someone that's inside, or you might have a story to tell us. Quite seriously, and we mean this. We're not trying to take the mickey out of this at all. It's a very serious topic. But we're led to, you know, as I said, the reaction for me, for people to say, oh, that's the worst place for Ben Cousins
you'd
to
think
be.
There'd be zero inside, wouldn't you? You'd think.
Mm.
And you think it wouldn't be that hard to stop it.
Mm.
But obviously that's not true.
All right, 133353. If you've got any knowledge on this at all, we're keen to find out more. And as I said, by all means, remain anonymous. But if you've got a story for us, we'd love to hear it. 133353.
Triple M.
The Ben Cousins situation is how we started this conversation about, obviously he's a drug addict. Now he's gone inside. And a lot of people here at work were discussing the other day, sort of saying, well, isn't that the worst place for a drug addict to go? So in other words, our prisons are rife with drugs. How does that happen?
That's unbelievable if it's true, and all the information suggests that it is, but we've thrown it out there and wanting to know if anyone knows anything about it. We've got an anonymous call here. Good morning, Anonymous.
How you going, boys?
Good, thanks,
good.
Mate.
What can you tell us?
A mate of mine serves as the washing machines in prisons in South Australia.
Yeah.
And when you go in to service the machines, the only thing they check is the tools you're taking with you, so they just count how many tools you come in with and how many you come out with.
Really?
What? So what, he could have whatever he wanted to on him?
Pretty much, yeah.
And he comes in contact with prisoners, does he? Or he could?
Well, it depends on your level of clearance. So he has a certain clearance where he has to have a screw with him, but there's one after that where you can walk around with no screw with you.
So as long as you get to the point where you can walk around with no one with you, then therefore an opportunity to be taking drugs into prisons.
So then it raises the question. We've had one other caller who didn't want to go to air, but garbage trucks visit 3 days a week. Mm. And by the way, I'm not pointing the finger at the garbos. I'm just saying this is an example. So you've got a washing machine man, you've got garbos, probably plumbers come in. There are all sorts of trades and people that would come in and out. So if they're only checked for their tools, then I suppose there are many opportunities to say, hey, I'll leave it in the washing machine room.
Let's take another call here. It's anonymous number two.
G'day, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Good. What can you tell us?
I spent a couple of years inside and actually saw it firsthand how they got it in.
Ah, okay. What can you tell us?
On one occasion, well, there was one young fella, his mum used to come and visit him. And in the visit room, she'd give him a very large, passionate kiss and pop it in his mouth and he'd swallow it.
Now, just on that, maybe this is just what we see on TV in movies and things, but I always thought, aren't they told to open their mouth and they check all around and under their tongue and all of that sort of thing? Does that not happen?
Yeah, it does, but they have, especially women, without being too crass, have areas where they can hide things without being detected.
All right, so they could get checked and then do what they need to do.
Regurgitate it or something. Is that what you're saying?
Visitors don't get strip searched necessarily. They get patted down and things like that. So they can have things hidden in all sorts of places. The checks aren't that stringent for the visitors. So
right.
The criminals are. But what happens is they swallow it and then go back to the cell and regurgitate it. And if they don't, they have to wait for a few days and are on notice until it comes out.
Mm. While I've got you, I hope you don't mind me asking, because we don't always talk to people that have been inside or have this experience. How would you describe your time in there, your experience? Is it a bad enough deterrent? Like, is it made you think, I'm never, ever setting foot in there again?
Me personally, absolutely. Yeah. But these young people that unfortunately have grown up in that environment that don't know any better, don't have the support and don't have the things in place to give them anything, any better option when they get out.
Yeah, right.
What percentage of people inside jails would take drugs quite often?
Quite a lot. It's
50%?
It'd be more than that.
More than that?
I reckon it would be. It's not a nice place. So,
what sort of drugs do they get access to in there?
Anything you want.
Absolutely anything.
So, I guess we've got to be careful how we put this, but you would know where to go and who to speak to, obviously, inside if you wanted anything.
And do you speak to prisoners or do you speak to guards or how do they do it?
You know the certain people that are running what they're running, but you put yourself at a severe risk by making contact with those sorts of people, because once you're in with them,
you're in.
You know, you're tied to them, and then you can't really get away. And the things you do see on TV is reality. I mean, people think it's a pretty easy way to live in there, but it's not really.
No.
Was it a scary existence?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I was cracking my dacks every day. It's not a nice place.
No.
All right. Look, thanks so much for ringing in. We really appreciate it. We wanted to learn, and that was terrific. Actually, that call, Roo. You said 50%. He's saying a heck of a lot more than that. Now, how does it get
to
that?
Who runs prisons?
Government.
Do the government? I know the government own them. Do they actually oversee day-to-day operations of it?
A few years ago, they farmed out the transport of prisoners to a private company. And some of that ended in disaster as well. There were a lot of escapes, but they did actually give it out to a private security company. But I think prison services come under. I mean, there's a minister for corrective services, isn't there?
Yeah, Peter Malinowskis.
So
it comes under
a government.
That is unbelievable.
But it's not. You can't say it's us here. It's every prison in the world. I mean, this is it's not unique to us.
You'd think though, if you really wanted to stop it, you could get pretty close, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just wonder about that. That's really strange hearing that.
Yep, it is. So maybe it's not a great place.
Hearing
for
how
to go.
Simple it is.
Unless he wants to get off it.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. 104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics, the big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Mel the Button Pusher. We've got Alice the Wag and Patsy, a.k.a. Catherine. It might be Hickey's room. Oh, she's coming with the biggest scar.
There's been a bit of passionate lovemaking going on.
A bit of patch rash.
That's really hard.
Take it off then. She's got a scarf around her neck covering
really
it up.
It's taken me a while to tie like this.
Doesn't want to come off.
No, seriously.
What are you hiding?
You can't get Hickey's when your partner's away.
Well, you can.
No, you can actually.
What, give them to yourself?
No. Different partner.
That wouldn't happen.
That's right. Anyway. Let's delve into the hot topic. Hey, Roo.
Why don't you go with long-distance relationships while we're talking about the partner being away?
Yeah, Carl Stefanovic's in the news because he's down in the dumps because his new girlfriend's gone to LA.
Poor
boy. And they've got to do it all long distance. Have you ever been involved in long distance? Is it easy? Is it good for the relationship? Alice the Wag.
Yes.
You have done it.
I did it for 2 years with the love of my life, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Just jokes.
It's Hamish, is it?
No, stop it. And I actually really enjoyed it. Because
why?
I was living in Melbourne, he was living in Adelaide, and I was in that year of 21st where you had all your 21sts on, and I was working full-time at a pub, I was doing full-time uni, and I could focus on my friends and my life, but then every month I would get a really good weekend, just me and Joel.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it made you look forward to
once
it.
Once a month.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my next question.
Yep.
Is it okay to have little sneakies?
Oh, what?
What?
Well, because you've got to, what are you going to do? You say you don't see the missus for
sneakies.
7 months or 8 months
What's
or something.
What's a sneaky?
I don't know. Like, just a little
hit
sneaky.
Someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, like cheat? No. Because then you don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah, but how are you meant to go in a long distance relationship? Don't you have an understanding where you say to each other, look, what I don't know doesn't hurt me. I just.
No.
Where do you go 8, 9, 10 months?
Are you joking?
I just thought I'd raise it. Why'd he jump down my throat? Righto, Patsy.
Right. Well, I was in a long-distance relationship for 7 years.
Seven years.
Oh, so Adelaide to Sydney. And I probably should have stopped it at about 2 or 3 because I knew I couldn't move to Sydney and he was never going to move here. But, yeah, look, it is hard. But, you know, if it works, you know, and you just like Alice said, you wake. Mine was about 2 to 3 week period that I'd go to Sydney, and so if you look forward to that, you plan for that, and then it's all about that weekend.
Pretty expensive. Doing that all the time.
I just look for flight specials.
Right.
And now, you know, my partner's away all the time, so it's a little bit of long distance. I think it makes it really nice so that when you see each other, it's really special. And
well, fly in, fly out work is a bit the same. They work 2 on, 2 off or 4 on, 1 off.
I think if you were like Carl, if someone's in LA, that's a bit harder because you can't just pop over for the weekend.
No. Mel?
Yeah, I was just about to say what Roo mentioned there. I've got friends who had a very finite goal in mind. They wanted to get their family set up for the future, so they did fly in, fly out for a couple of years, but they knew it would be for a couple of years and they'd earn a lot of money, set themselves up, get a house, that sort of thing. So I get that. I personally couldn't do it because I don't think a relationship's about a special date on a Saturday night. I think it's the in-between stuff that's a relationship. It's sharing meals. It's helping each other. It's being there for each other after a crappy day.
A cuddle on the couch.
A bit of a cuddle. So, yeah, I couldn't. I can see why people would. I don't think it's wrong or anything. I couldn't do it, though.
Good on you, Mel. Erin Phillips, as we all know, won the equivalent. She's won everything, but the one we're focusing on is the Brownlow, Roo. And as happens with people like you, you win the Brownlow and you reach across and you kiss the lovely Sarah and she congratulates you and there's a beautiful photo. She's the proud wife and you're the proud husband. You've just won. So she kissed her partner, or her wife, in fact. It is Tracy Gahan.
Yep.
Beautiful photo.
It was good
from
photo.
What a lot of people say and think. But a couple of questions have come out of it. Are we ready? So there are people writing about this today, Caroline Wilson being one, Mark Robinson
being
another.
What did Caroline Wilson say, by the way?
It's time for the AFL to lead the way in gay marriage. Right. Now, how that's the AFL's job has got me stuffed. I don't quite understand that. But that's what she's written today. Mark Robinson's written an interesting article talking about it's time, you know, we should be promoting gay marriage. And then, you know, has been a champion for the cause with this article he's written today. But then there's a paragraph in there he says, and fellas, by the way, don't deny that you didn't find it sensual. So on one hand, he's trying to support the issue. And on the other hand, he's being sleazy as well, which is just incredible, an imbalance of some description. But I just want to put it to you. Are we ready for that? I've shown you the photo this morning, Catherine. What do you think of it?
I think it's fine. Like, I think, you know, if that was, like you said, you know, a man and he's just one, he reaches over, kisses his wife, this is her, she's one, she wants to congratulate her wife. Like, I think it's fantastic. I'm all for it. I think, you know, everyone to their own and we should not, you know, even, you know, promote it. That it's
Do you
such
know
a big
blokes
thing.
That wouldn't be comfortable with it?
Oh, seeing two girls kiss?
Yeah.
No, I don't know anyone that wouldn't. Every guy I know goes, you know, everyone to their own.
Yep. But, what if two blokes did it?
If they just kissed quickly, if they pashed, like, it might be a bit full on. Well, like, you know, like, I don't think you want to see two guys. You don't see a husband and wife, like, he's won an award and they're at it.
You give
like,
him a little peck.
You know, you give him a peck and you go, yep, well done. You shake your mate's hand next to you, you know. So, yeah, if two guys did that, I don't have a problem with it. Not at all.
What about, I said, do you have blokes that you know, the same blokes that you said would like the girls doing it, would they like the blokes doing it?
I think that they'd go fine.
Oh, lying,
no, it depends. Okay. Some blokes might.
Well, let's hear from Mel first. I was going to say something you said earlier this morning, but we'll hear from you first.
Okay. No, I think I would hate to put words in Erin Phillips' mouth, but I'm sure she didn't do that as a political act. She kissed the woman she loves that she's married, even though that's probably it's not recognised in this country, unfortunately, that they're married. But I didn't like Mark Robinson's article when two paragraphs in he's said, and what you've mentioned, it's don't deny it, guys, you found it a bit sensual. So it just seems to me that he's fine with it so long as it's two athletic, beautiful women having a kiss. I don't believe they would have done it as a political act or
they
to be outspoken.
They just did it because it was natural.
Yeah.
But it's a good question you just raised. So if it was two unattractive people, would he write the same thing?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Yeah.
It just seems a really grubby little article, grubby little comment from him, I thought.
Yeah. What do you think, Roo?
I was comfortable with it. I haven't got an issue with it at all. I think we've said on this show that Big Mao should just let them get married and let them do what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think we're past all that.
All right, Alice the Wag?
I bloody loved it, and it makes me sad that the men, so they're obviously, statistics-wise, there's obviously men who are gay in the AFL. It makes me so sad that they can't do that because apparently it's wrong, but it's okay for women. Like, well, I don't understand
no
that.
No one's telling them not to do it.
No, I know, but they would be looked down upon, I think.
No, I don't. They might they need to get,
I think
they
in society they would cop it. Well, I know
they should. They need to come out, and yeah. I don't know why they don't at
because
the
imagine being in the locker room and all the guys going, oh, don't be naked in front of that guy, you know.
No, that wouldn't happen anymore.
Didn't Jason Ackermanis say, I mean, I know he's not the spokesman for the
no,
AFL.
No, he's not the spokesman for the AFL.
But he came out and said a few years ago that, nope, if you're gay, don't say anything. Isn't that still an attitude?
Yeah, that
that's
was
prevalent?
Years ago, nah. though. That was like.
Oh, even when I was playing, that's 10 years ago. Yeah. Wouldn't have happened then.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have happened then.
I think cool. the same. Come out, be comfortable in your own skin, and we should all just accept each other and it'll be a happier
just
place.
Love, just love. Right.
On that note.
Wait, I've got a question. What was the partner's name again, Ditz?
Which partner?
Aaron Phillips' partner.
Is it Tracy what? Gahan?
It's yeah. A... So did Aaron Phillips go, I'm Gahan, I'll lean over and kiss you.
Oh,
right. That, they were the angels.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:13, Ruined Dits here on Triple M, all doing it for Primo and their $9.90 menu. Fantastic. They're bringing us in breakfast this morning, Ru.
I think we're looking forward to it too.
Yes. Ru, I reckon I'd probably speak for your father, but certainly my dad, who would now be in his 80s. But born in the 1930s, things have changed, I know. But back then, all my dad had to do was get to 13 years of age and he couldn't wait. And the day he turned 13, he left school. And his mum said,
"Those are the rules back then."
My nan said, "Right, and you get a job straight away." Like they had to contribute to the family house, but all of them did that. If they weren't going to go on and be anything, you know, of note, if they weren't going to go to university, they got out of school and they went and got a job somewhere, probably on the wharf or doing something manual, and earned money. Now, I don't know. Did you see this fella on the news last night?
Yeah, I did.
Now,
the fact is,
he's breaking the law. So we need to point that out first. Mr. Kinasovich is his name. Let's hear from him.
Kinasovich family has provided education, training, and jobs over the centuries through four continents. He has signed agreement with apprenticeship companies. Please follow the details. He has not done nothing wrong. We have not done nothing wrong to no one.
Okay, so they're from Eastern Europe, this family, and he's obviously been brought up or raised differently to us.
In his background, children as young as 12 are allowed to do that, he said.
Yeah. So, look, as I said, he is breaking the law, but I'm just wondering if the law is right in this case. What he's saying is my son's 14, no good him going on at school because he doesn't want to do anything academically. Mm. So he's training him right now to work in the family business, and he goes to work with his dad, but has already secured tickets, I'm led to believe. Now, how that can happen as a 14-year-old, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But he's secured certain tickets that you need to work on work sites. And he's saying, look, he's better off working with me and learning the trade than being at school. It turns out his son has missed over 100 days of school, though, in the last 12 months, which is a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Heck of a lot.
It is.
So in the end, the school has clamped down. They've
How
come
many days
down
of school do you reckon you do? About 250 or something, would
you,
roughly?
I really don't
That's
know.
Only a guess.
Yeah. But anyway, as a 14... So anyway, this
What are the rules here? Is it 15 or 16 now? Because I reckon it was 15 when I went to school.
Mm. I left at 15.
You left at 15?
Mm. Yep.
Can't tell.
No, thank you.
No. I used to stay home from school heaps, Wakery, and pick fruit. When fruit was ready to be picked, me and my brother used to stay home. My old man used to stay home all the time.
Yeah.
Had to. That's how they survived. That was in a different era, but we did. Heaps of the Riverland kids do if they grow up on fruit properties.
So it was probably acceptable. The schools up there accepted it.
Just give them a note. It was,
they knew what
working
was
on the block.
Yeah. So why is that different?
Well, we didn't have 100 days off a year. Would probably be 10.
But they said last night that at the moment there are two cases in South Australia that are being looked at. He's one of them. He's been in court. He's got to go back to court, I think, in May, and he'll be sentenced. Now, when I say sentenced, they're talking
he'll
about
get a fine.
A $5,000 fine. But I don't know. Is this fella in the right or the wrong?
Yeah, look, I think in his case, you know, if that rule wasn't there, I'd have absolutely no issue with it at all for the lad. But in most cases, the reason why kids are leaving school at 14 or 15 is so they can go and do nothing, sit on the couch.
Well, that's
and be
the
drop
thing.
Kicks.
And I think he can prove, and he's saying, look, my lad is on the work site every day. I think this fella's doing something good.
Yeah, I haven't got a problem with it at all. They'd be hardworking Croatians doing the right thing. That's what this one looks like. But this would be, I reckon, a bit of an isolated case.
All right. Is this right or wrong for our kids? 133353. If you take your kid out of school, but it's for a purpose, not to sit on the couch and watch or play games all day, surely this is a good thing. And we're channeling them into the right areas, surely.
We just ran a story a week or two ago about the lack of trades and people out there doing it.
Yeah.
This is probably part of the reason.
What do you think? 133353. Hey, Roo, we've got a nice little prize here. Tell me about this Audi Stadium Club.
Well, the Audi Stadium Club is an absolute magnificent part of Adelaide Oval. Absolutely brilliant. It is the place to be at Adelaide Oval, in fact, on the eastern wing. It just feels magnificent when you're in there. It's the great place to watch footy, and we've got a double to go there.
No, we're going to put you in the draw. Yes, you'll go in the draw.
Right, we'll go into the draw, okay, and for the showdown.
Yeah,
big okay. game. Well, that's even better again. The biggest, best place to be on the biggest game of the year.
All right, 133353. Is this fella in the right or is he in the wrong? Give us a call.
104.7 Triple M.
822, we're talking about this fella who has taken his 14-year-old out of school to work with him to get him an apprenticeship, and he's in the wrong. He's being done for truancy. What do you think about this? 133353.
Let's go to West Beach. G'day, Peter.
Yeah, how you going, Ruth?
What do you think on this one?
Well, I've got my own painting business, and my son started working with me when he was young. I didn't take him out of school, mind you, but he used to come in on the weekends and give me a hand. And then when he finished school, he actually went to uni, decided he didn't like it, and he's been working with me ever since. He's bought his second house. I think it's the best thing out. You know, it teaches him life skills.
Yep.
You know, it set him up for life.
Probably put his toe in the water before he goes to uni to sort of get a bit of a taste of what it's like on the tools compared to going to uni and getting a degree.
That's it. And then he saw the way, I guess. But you know, it set him up. He's bought his second house. He's 27. He's done it all himself because he, you know, he's prepared to take the risk and. And do it.
All right.
Well done, Peter. Good example. Good Let's story. Go to Lockley's. G'day, Nick.
Hello. How are you?
What do you think about this one, Nick?
I think that is wrong because for two main reasons. The first reason is being every individual has a right of choice, a freedom of choice.
Yep.
And secondly, every individual making the choice then has to live in a society. That society has certain rules, laws, and so the school, now regardless of how good is the school teaching the kids, but the principle is that you go to school to learn how to live amongst other individuals, respect the rules, and understand the meaning of abiding by certain rules.
Yep.
All right, yep. Can't disagree with that either. Yep. All right.
If you don't do that, you know, if you don't go to school, then you miss a part of education on how to live amongst the rest of the other individual.
Yeah, Nick, no, that's fair enough.
It is fair enough. Yep. I slightly agree. I think you get life lessons too if you go into the workplace, don't you? I mean, you get thrust into a workplace with a heap of men, which I know you happened to you, Ruin, and it happened to me. You learn life skills pretty quick there as well.
Yep.
So different life skills, but Nick's not incorrect by any stretch.
What do you think, Cody?
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we?
Good, Cody. Well.
Yeah, so, you know, apprentices, what, they're hard to come by these days, and SA's screaming for them, so I don't see what the problem is. I know a lot of other kids are doing a lot of probably badder things, you know, than this kid's doing, so why are they cracking up?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess that's the interesting point. If he's working or sitting on the couch doing nothing.
Quick question here, Roo. Let's say you've got a kid that you and I know and he's hopeless at school. Not a hopeless kid, but doesn't like maths or English.
Refuses to try.
Isn't good at it. Might even be dyslexic. Yeah, there could be all sorts of circumstances. Do you leave them there and say, well, bad luck, you're here till you're 17, just start learning? or do you channel them into something else?
Well, what about those? We just had a look. The rules are that you're not allowed to leave school until you're at least 16, unless you've got a reason to leave. You're going to do a course or something like that, Mel.
It said 16, and it's been raised by a year. So even if you leave at 17, you still have to have some other sort of education.
You're going to something.
You're going to something else, yeah.
Mm. Oh, that was staggering. That's gone up a little bit. I reckon it was 15 when I left school.
Let's go to Grange. Good morning, Louis.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good. What do you think, Louis?
Well, he's 100% in the right.
Yeah.
I've gone through this situation with my boy. It has to be 16. They can go do part-time at TAFE, but they still have to go to school. There's the law states they have to be at school. They have to get permission from a parent and from the principal of school to have an agreement for the child to do that.
Yep.
The problem that we have is the system, these kids have got nothing to have excitement in their life at school. It is just what is happening is wrong. The kids have got no future to look forward to. They go there depressed, miserable. The teachers have no control of these kids. If we can't control our own kids, how can the teachers control our kids?
Lewis, what do you mean they got nothing to look forward to?
Mate, the public system out there, what goes on in these school places is a joke.
So you're having problems.
It's very general.
Are you having problems, are you, or...?
My kids, the footage that I've seen, what the kids go, what they do at school, under the teacher's nose, it's a joke. The teachers don't give a shit. They just can't wait for the kids to walk out of there. They're under pressure, mate. They just can't handle what is happening out there. I feel sorry for these teachers. They can't handle anymore, mate. They're under enough stress as it is.
All right, Louis.
All right, thanks, Louis. I think a very general statement to make, though. I'm sure there's good and bad everywhere. We know a lot of real good teachers, too, and good kids.
Let's go to Henley Beach. G'day, Peter.
G'day. I think my friend Louis was fired up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was.
A couple of points. Firstly, I think it's the parents' fault that they should encourage their children. I encourage my children to go to school. That's it. They got no option. I give them absolutely no option. They need to finish year 12 and go to university. After that, they can do whatever they want.
But what if they're not equipped for that? Well, I mean, I wasn't equipped for that. What if my father just said that to me? Regardless, you're going to university, bad luck.
Okay. With all due respect to your father, now, I come from an Italian background, so my parents didn't get any education. Now, they tried to push me along to school. I did. I went to year 12. I went to university. I did what, you know, my mother said, go to university and get a good head job. You know, so we had to go to university to get a learned education. My kids have absolutely no option, okay? So if you lay down the law from when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you can go.
What if he wants to be a builder, Pete? You don't care? You just want him to go to uni and then become a builder after that, or...?
Absolutely fine with that.
Yep.
Absolutely. I've done the same. And actual fact, I'm in the building industry. It's funny she's mentioned that. So I went to university, spent 5 years at university. But I tell you what, Saru, I learned something invaluable. People have tried to pull the wool over my eyes because I think I'm just a dumb builder guy in the industry. But when I start talking to them in an edumacated way, then they sort of, their ears pin up. Because I'm no longer just this dumb guy on the building site anymore. Now, this little guy, he's taking his kid out of school. He probably hasn't had the education himself, right? So that's not his fault. The second part is, okay, he has taken him out. He's 100 days out of school. I think the law should be more flexible for individual situations because in this situation, this kid is beyond... re-educating or reforming, if you like, to go back to school. So he may as well, as I said earlier, he may as well, to the young lady who answered the phone, he may as well go out and work. Well, he's not on the street. He's not roaming the street looking for some trouble to get into.
So, all right. Thank you, Peter, from Henley Beach. I found that a bit contradictory in the end. On one hand, you're saying he has to stay there and finish, and then on the other hand, get him out working. I was a little bit confused, but anyway, I'm not that smart. I didn't finish school.
Let's go to Hillbank. G'day, Reno.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Reno. What do you think?
Look, I think it's a great idea what this guy's doing. He's setting up his son. He's giving him a work ethic. You know what? If the guy can read and write now, He's still way better than a lot of kids who are leaving school. I'll tell you what, my dad did the same thing for my brother. He said, okay, you're not too flash at school. You come with me, you work with me. My old man was a motor mechanic. And to this day, my brother can do everything and anything. Okay?
Yep.
Rebuild motors. Okay?
Brilliant.
Diesel. Motorbikes. You know what? Outboard motors on boats. He said, oh, yeah, piece of cake. This guy has got, I always phone my brother to get advice. That's how good he is. You understand? This 40-year-old kid is going to grow up with a work ethic. He's going to contribute to society.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I'm not bagging education. Education is great.
Yep.
You know what? We all can't be a high-end. You know, we can all be highly educated and there's no work for us anyway.
Yeah.
Who's going to do all that low-end job? Or people look down at that. Oh, he's just a gardener. He's just a carpenter. He's just a painter.
We need all of those people. There's no doubt. Good on you, Reno. Last call. Let's go to Ferriton Park. Hello, Claire.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Claire.
Well, I don't really. I'm actually studying to be a teacher at the moment. I'm a 40-year-old mother of two boys.
Yeah.
Good on you, Claire.
And I'm actually incredibly confronted by the sweeping generalised statements that people are making regarding the education system, teachers, and young kids at school. We work our butts off to make these schools great for these kids and give them the education that they need.
Yes.
12-year-old kids should be at school. They should not be in the environment with grown adults.
This kid's 14, just so you know.
14, sorry. Even at 14,
yep.
They're too young to be out working. That son, that boy, I encourage him to go and work with his dad on the weekend and learn the skills, learn the trade. That's fine. But there's so much more that children learn at school rather than just reading, writing and arithmetic. Mm-hmm. The social aspects of learning at school, that you know, and what you're teaching this child is, don't follow the law. Don't do what you're told to do. Just bunk the system and break the law.
Yeah, you make a good point, Claire.
Yep.
Very well put. In fact, Claire, I think, was very impressive, Roo.
Okay, let's put her on the standby list, Dits. Let's put her on the standby list to be able to go to the Audi Stadium Club for the showdown, which is next Sunday, which is going to be absolutely brilliant. Next Saturday night, I should say, the showdown. So an awesome game of footy and a great place to watch it from.
Yes.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:40 Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Thanks to Primo. Hey, Roo, when I was a youngster, when I was a little fella, there used to be so many events, so many things happened down on the River Torrens. And I can remember, and on the Pat, actually, down at Glenelg, things like big water skiing tournaments, and they used to have the big jumps, and hundreds, thousands of people would sit on the grass there and watch, and they were just massive events, and we don't have them anymore, but they're coming back.
Yeah, they are coming back, and actually this Sunday they're going to have a bit of a prelude to a national event later on in the year. We're going to have the national championships, but this Sunday they're going to do a little bit of barefooting down there, which barefooting is a skillful thing that people can do on the river, but having the national championships there, as you say, the bank down there would be perfect. Sort of bit of a, you know, have plenty of people there watching.
Elder Park.
It'd be up close down at Elder Park. It'd be absolutely brilliant.
It's
I'm
a perfect little,
back.
You know, the Yarra runs through Melbourne, right?
Yep.
You say, well, they've got their river there too. But ours is different because you've got Elder Park. It's almost a natural little amphitheatre, isn't
it? That's
right. The way the mound is that you can have hundreds of people sit there having a picnic lunch or whatever and watching the action. Now, to tell us more, the Vice President of the Australian Barefoot Skiing Association, Peter Franks, joins us. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
This is very exciting.
It is, yes.
Tell us about these championships. How many people and where will the competitors come from and all those sorts of things?
Competitors from all over the country.
Yeah.
Every state sends... we've got about 80 to 90 skiers all up. We've got this year's nationals are in Perth. It'd be exciting to have it in Adelaide next year.
Peter, do you know anything about the Torrens? Why all of a sudden it's coming back into calculations to host an event like this? I mean, it does look a bit dirty, like most probably rivers in the city, you know, obviously it's clean and deep enough and healthy enough to be able to have such an event.
Yeah, well, that's what the trial is for this Sunday, is to check all those sort of things, make sure that it's safe for our competitors. And, if everything goes well, we'll put in a bid for the Nationals there next year.
Are they great spectator events, the ones that say on Perth this year? They, you know, how many people do you get to, say, an event in Perth?
Yeah, this year we've got about 70 skiers going to
How many people Perth. Would go along there?
What about the crowd?
The crowd probably a few hundred, I guess.
Yeah.
Peter, have you been around for a while? I was saying in the intro there, I remember as a kid, you know, going to events down at Patawalunga and also on the Torrens where there were just thousands of people. Do you remember those glory days?
Yes, I do. Not on the Torrens. We've done some on the Pat in the past. But in the early 70s, I think it was, late 50s, they had some skiing back there. So, I was a very young boy back then.
Yeah, I was too. All right, Peter, thanks for joining us. This is exciting, Roof, to see these sorts of events on the Torrens. And look, this might lead to other things as well. It is a natural little amphitheatre.
It'd be brilliant.
You could run all sorts of things down there.
Perfect family day too down there. It'd be just awesome. You could, you know, have all the food trucks and bars and kids and everything down there.
We've been saying for a long time that Melbourne has its Federation Square. I wonder if Elder Park is our Federation Square.
Yeah.
Not every event has to be on the water, obviously, but it is a great little natural sort of stage, isn't it?
I'll be there for that one.
Natural venue. Were you a barefooter up at Wakery?
Oh, I could do a little bit. No,
could
not,
you?
Not anywhere near the class of these boys, but I'd usually end up with requiring Panadol after mine, because when you come off when you're learning to barefoot, you don't just come off gently. You come off very, very hard. So
right. Swallow a bit of water.
At about 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve, with a little bit of confidence in the system, we'd go barefooting.
Right.
And
a few glasses
quite often
of courage.
End in tears.
Right. How fast do you go barefooting?
Very fast.
Is it meant to be faster than on skis?
Yeah, it's faster
isn't it?
Than skiing. Yep. So,
and what's the sensation like on your feet? Does it tickle or does it?
Depends how long you last. If you last for a long time, if you stay up there for a while, your feet do tend to burn a bit, especially probably if you're not good at it like me. I don't know what the good skis it's like. I suppose they might get their feet in the right position where it doesn't burn so much.
So the water burns?
Yeah, well, it feels like it burns, because you're going for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Nigel Smart.
And then you go whack.
Right.
With a face plant or something like that, if you're not expecting it.
This is meant to be fun.
When you're up this barefooting and if you slightly think about moving forward, just the slightest, smash your head into the water.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hours of
great
fun.
Great fun.
Yeah, no worries.
But if you're good at it, you don't do that.
7:44, Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Catch anything you missed with Ruined Dits for Breakfast Catch Up. Thanks to Primo. $9.90 meals are back. With an all-new menu. Where are you going for your next meal? I know. Primo.